In his book, Angels and Demons, Dan Brown talks about the odd relationship between science and spirit. He wrote, "Science may have alleviated the miseries of disease and drudgery and provided an array of gadgetry for our entertainment and convenience, but it has left us in a world without wonder. Our sunsets have been reduced to wavelengths and frequencies. The complexities of the universe have been shredded into mathematical equations. Even our self-worth as human beings have been destroyed. Science proclaims that planet Earth and its inhabitants are meaningless specks in the grand scheme, a cosmic accident. Even the technology that promises to unite us divides us. Each of us is now electronically connected to the globe, and yet we feel utterly alone. Who is this God, science? Who is the God who offers his people power, but no framework to tell you how to use that power? What kind of God gives a child fire, but does not warn the child of its dangers? Science textbooks tell us how to create a nuclear reaction, yet they contain no chapter asking us if it's a good or bad idea. Science has an immense responsibility to make sure that all it is discovering has a spiritual component to it. And the spiritual religious community also has an immense responsibility not to hinder the growth of science and life-affirming discoveries that arcane and superstitious Bible mythology mixes up. The mythology is different than the reality, so people read the mythology, and when you literalize mythology, you create pain. You create confusion, such as women are not soulless creatures at the mercy of men's control, regardless of what the Apostle Paul believed. He wrote letters. He never thought that was going to be scripture. He would have totally rewritten them had he known he was writing the Bible. Sexual expression is normal, it's healthy, and it's needed, regardless of what some uptight writers may have created or not understood. Gay people are not wayward heterosexuals who are being disobedient. Back then, they had no knowledge. There's no scientific knowledge of sexual orientation. Stem cell research is not anti-God, no matter what one views or how one views reproductive rights. Einstein said, "Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind." True science and true spirituality are looking for the same thing. They're both looking for truth. The truth. What is the truth? They're both going for the same answer, but the methodology is different. Science is discovering truth by going outward, going to the microscope, seeing what is on this planet and deducing what the truth may be. Metaphysics is finding truth inside and then going outward. And what is truth? Sir Isaac Newton once said that truth is the offspring of silent and unbroken meditation. Truth is the offspring of silent and unbroken meditation. This is from a scientist. In Unity, we define truth as divine unchanging law underlying all reality being revealed to us over and over again by divine intelligence inside of us. And then we go outside as we are guided. That truth, the divine law, has many names, but it's the same principle. You can call it life, love, power, wholeness, abundant good. There are so many names, all the same truth, just a different aspect of it. Pascal, the scientist who lived in the 1500s, said, "We know the truth not only by reason, but also by the heart. Brain and heart have to work together to find the truth. The truth is revealed to your mind and to your heart simultaneously. The truth that is revealed to us by rational science evidence and by the human heart is this: the universe has been created by God for you. The universe has been created, this planet has been created for you, perfect. were the perfect distance from the sun, any shorter or it would be too hot, any further away would be too cold. The atmosphere is perfect for life, the food, everything. Genesis put it this way. God said, look, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and every bird of the air and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. Not just good. Oh, my, it was very good. It was so good. Unbelievably good. God says right in the first book of the Bible, I created all of this for you. Manja. Eat. It's yours. What are you waiting for? Part of the controversy, part of the challenge we have with the current controversy of creationism versus evolution is that the story of a week-long creation that we have in Genesis was never meant by the authors to be literal. They'd be shaking their heads at fundamentalists saying, we didn't write that literally. We had no other way of talking about the wonder of the creation of the universe, so we put it in a very poetic kind of fashion. It's the only way we could. This isn't literal. God isn't walking around the garden going, yoo-hoo, Adam. That does not work with reason, that the one who created everything would be walking around and not be able to find his creation in a small garden. Are you under the, are you, where are, that, God? That's not God. It's, Genesis is poetry, trying to explain the unexplainable in that wonderful, beautiful form. There's a divine intelligence that has created this planet, this universe, and it continues to do so every single moment. If God were not recreating it every moment, it would die. So the life of God, upholding, uplifting, and moving it forward, is recreating it every single moment. It didn't happen in 6 days, 6,000 years ago by a God who was kind of clueless. So, yelled at the snake for giving an apple. What? It's poetry. It's symbology. It's a myth. We're taking a sacred mythology and making it illogical science. It's illogical to think of any Bible story in a literal way. Christian Science, Unity, Religious Science, they all began in the 1800s. And they were considered radical back then because we believed that the natural world and the spiritual world were essentially reflections of each other. Ernest Holmes, founder of Religious Science, wrote, "Science is the knowledge of facts based upon some proven principle. The science of mind, of spirituality, then is a study of divine life and the nature of the law of thought, the conception that we live in a spiritual universe, that God is in, through, around, and for us." So science and spirit come together in the realization that they both are based in principle. In New Thought metaphysics, we believe that God is the principle, the one and only principle that there is. Einstein and many other scientists believe that was the case as well. Thomas Edison said, "Ideas come from space, from nothing, which is God." Paleontologist Teilhard de Chardin said, "The stuff of the universe is spirit matter. The stuff of the universe is all spirit." Einstein again said, "My idea of God is formed by a deeply emotional conviction of the presence of a superior reasoning power revealed in an incomprehensible universe." Isn't that wonderful? The universe is incomprehensible, but what created it is divine reason, that it has to follow reason if it's to make sense. John Hitchcock, a physicist, said, "We are literally stardust." Literally. It's been proven that there is only one difference between you and a star, and that's one molecule. One molecule separates you from being a star. Remember that the next time you go to an audition, or a job interview, or a date. Go on a blind date. I am a star. I am a star. Together, I am a star. Most of you believe that.
It's wonderful.
You are just one tiny idea away from shining as bright as anything in the galaxy. You have to remember, I have to remember who we are. Jesus knew what he was talking about, again, when he said, I am the light of the world, you are the light of the world. He wasn't writing a Hallmark card. He wasn't doing it to make you feel good. He was telling you the truth of your nature. Bright, shining creation of God. Inside of you is the fullness of life, power, peace, joy, creativity, order, strength, imagination, love. It's all there inside. It's all there right now. You are a child, you're a creation of the universe. And as its creation, you are totally 110% unequivocally supported, cared for, loved, and nurtured by what creates you over and over and over again. Beyond our current comprehension in these forms, the truth is God loves you. The universe loves you and is doing everything it can without taking away your free will to let you know that. The universe is a friendly, brilliant, intelligent, supportive, abundant home for its creation. And as Dan Brown in Angels and Demons pointed out, we have to have a heart-centered, spirit-centered science to remind us of that truth. And that is what Genesis is also reminding us of. You have everything you need or desire right here within you. There's nothing you lack. Now, what we do is we left the garden to prove that truth. We left because we needed to know that. We needed to work through that, like Dorothy going down the yellow brick road. We needed to make that journey so we could come home secure, safe, knowing that home within me is where I always will be and all around us. To God, you are a star. To God, you are all that matters. To God, God only sees you as light. God only sees you as herself. There is no difference from God and God's creation. The only thing that God isn't feeling is you letting God flow forth. God's wondering why there's a block. Why am I being blocked from fully shining in my creation? Because what we're doing, we're thinking in a different direction. John 3:16, one of the most misunderstood scriptures ever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We all know football players write that on their face, on their arm, the whole card. But we don't understand it. That refers to the God child that you are. God so loved the world that he created one Christ, and that is you. That is me. Jesus said, you are God's son, you are God's daughter when you realize that. Who are my mother? Who are my brothers right here? When you have the realization that God and I are one, here is my oneness. The real you, the radiant you, the brilliant star covered up with fears and doubts and insecurities and angers and beliefs and unforgiveness. That's the bushel, Jesus said, we put over that light so we're not shining. We really do believe that we're just worthless human beings alone on a ball of dirt called Earth, just waiting for life to be over with and nothing to show for it. I admit that I felt that way for a long time. I had such difficulty wondering what the hell I was doing here. I went through quite a few years of existential angst. It's all nothing. It's a cosmic accident that we're spinning around madly banging into each other for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Everyone is getting so worked up over life, and the only thing we have to show for it at the end of it is a little marking in a cemetery somewhere. And make that a double Jack Daniels, bartender. Thank you very much. Anybody ever feel that way? Am I the only one? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I thought I was. For a long time, I thought I was. Everybody looked so joyful. Everybody seemed to be doing what they're here to do. And I was wondering, what am I doing here? I felt that for such a long time. The makers of Prozac have made a lot of money because a lot of us feel that way. Oh, you're feeling existential angst. You feel you don't belong here. Take this pill and feel better. Well, you know, it might make us feel better for a little while, but eventually we know medications wear off. So you have to take more or they just completely stop working altogether. Then I had my spiritual awakening in 1984. And all of a sudden, life made sense. It made sense because Spirit within me was telling me, here is what it's about. The idea of living life on earth without God is really scary. Without the awareness of God, without the awareness that we are powerful, that we are one with God, we do take a look at the planet and say, what is going on here? And that's why I drank and I smoked and I did drugs and I ate a lot of carbohydrates. I was trying to blot that pain out, but I also blotted out joy. I blotted out everything. But Pall Mall, Jack Daniels, Dolly Madison cupcakes didn't do the trick. They were my gods for a while, or goddesses. Little Debbie. Turns out she wasn't that great anyway. They do not fulfill the deep longing we have of spirit. Only God will do that. And we can do that anywhere in the universe as long as we have that realization. Your true holy work on earth isn't about struggling, isn't just making it another day. It's about celebrating. It's about celebrating. My people from the ship, would you come up here for a moment? I just want everybody to see how wonderfully relaxed and happy you are. If you're here, come on up. We had such a great time, and people really, everybody wants to do it again. It was such a good time. So we would like to have like 100 people tonight, or take the whole ship over the next time, because we had such a wonderful time celebrating. And 83-degree weather, it was just phenomenal. It was just wonderful. And a number of these folks here, like Thomas and some other people, said, you know, the first night, said, I'm so scared of being here. Because some have never been on it. They're greeting each other now because they haven't seen each other for a little while. There were people who were afraid because they hadn't ever been on a ship before. All right, calm down. They'd never been on a ship before. They had never traveled alone. They were worried, who's going to eat with me? Who's going to go on excursions with me? Anybody ever have trouble after that? No, because they all did. Look, they're glued at the hip now. People say, oh, there's Unity's cliques. It's not clique. It's people who were scared, who came to a new place, didn't know what they were doing, and then they found friends. They found you're not alone on the planet. You're here. If Earth is a party planet, then New York City is the biggest dance floor ever, right? Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Get up. Say hello to the person next to you. Introduce yourself. Are we ready? Hit it. Here we go. Dance with the person standing next to you. This is the party planet. Spread out. Spread out. Spread out. Spread out. If you're sitting down, raise your arms. Shake your hip. Dance with each other, not me. Come on, be the heathens we are in Unity.
There's a party going on right here.
Move your hip.
A celebration.
Look out if you had a hip operation.
So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gon' celebrate your party with you. Come on now.
Find a new partner. Turn the other way.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time.
Woohoo!
Celebration.
Oh, the balcony's even up. Look at that.
Celebrate and have a good time.
All right, thank you. Are you awake now? Did you say more? Later. It's about celebrating. It's about facing your fear and doing it anyway. A cruise ship, oh my God, I'm doing it alone, oh my God. I'm like, and look what happened. People came together to celebrate who we are. It's about celebrating your power, your joy, your compassion, your strength, your healing energy, your abundant good, your creativity, your divine nature, your God being. You are the only begotten son. You are the only begotten daughter, the living, loving, powerful, brilliant, caring God that created everything, created you to celebrate and to have a good time. Woohoo! That's true. So we are all that one begotten child of God. Shakespeare said, "What a piece of work is man, how noble in reason, how infinite in faculty, in form and movement, how like an angel." He was channeling that. He was definitely channeling that. That was not a human thought. That was a divine thought. Jesus said, you know, you're gods, but you forgot. That's all. You're gods. You forgot who you were. You have the power to heal. You have the power to forgive. You have the power to prosper. You have a power to make this place a heaven or hell. Are you going to make it a hell planet or a party planet? It's up to you. It's up to you. Truly, all up to you, whether you decide to party or if you said, oh my God, I can't believe they're playing disco music in church. I'm sitting here and I'm not going to do anything about it. You can choose to sit there and not participate, or if you're, you just can't get out of your chair, wave your arms, do something. Go, woohoo! But if you're sitting there with your arms folded and say, I can't believe they're doing that, lighten up. Jesus said, unless you become a child again, you can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. There are no grumpy old men in heaven. There are no cranky people on the other side. If you choose to be cranky here, that's up to you. But put a little wall around you and say, I choose to be cranky. There are a few churches that you'd be really happy in, I'm sure. St. Cranky of Our Lady of whatever down the street. You know, several years ago, there was an oil company that was concerned about the lack of creativity and creative production among their engineers. They hired a team of psychologists to find out what differentiated the creative people from the non-creative people on their staff. They were hoping to find some way to stimulate the non-creatives to be more creative. The psychologists began by questioning the engineers about their education background, where they grew up, what their favorite color, everything. After doing this for 3 months, they found the chief factor that separated the creative group from the non-creative group was, this is astonishing, the creative people thought they were creative. The non-creative people didn't think they were creative. All that money for 3 months. All the other factors were pretty much the same between the groups. One group thought they were something the other group didn't think they were. What you think you are, you are. What you think, you are. If you want something different, think differently. Create a whole new you. Create the real you. If you want to pretend that you're not creative, you have free will. You can do that. Go right ahead, but that is not the truth. Years ago, I did a workshop on the creative divine artist within. It was really well attended. We had a great time. And Unity Village invited me to do that at the village, and they put the ads in Daily Word and Unity Magazine. They only had 20 people respond. They called up people who usually came to the retreats, and the number one response they got was, oh, I'm not an artist. That would not be my retreat. I'm really tired of hearing that. You are a creative divine artist just because you're alive. You are a creative divine artist because you're a child of God. When you know you're a child of God, you are automatically an artist of life. You create, you've been creating your life anyway. How do you want to create it now? It's been negative or limited, or you've been creating a picture of who you are. You've been an artist in a kind of negative way. Now, hallelujah! A singer is born. You got it, baby. If you want to act as if you don't have healing power, that's your choice. If you want to act as if you are not abundantly blessed, if you have no money, that's your choice. You can believe that, but you can also believe it otherwise. You believe I'll never get hired to do the art or the career that I want, that'll come. If you want to believe differently, you will be the success you came to be. If you want to believe the universe is unfriendly and withholding your good, that is what your life will reflect. With all joyful, loving, successful children of God, what we all know, that the crabby, unloving, miserable child of God does not know, is that our lives are wonderful or terrible as we determine they will be. You get to choose your life. You get to choose how your life will be when you walk out the door this morning. There's a teenage girl, her name is Elaine Dart. She's very talented. She can paint, she can embroider pillows, she can knit, she's a whiz on the computer. The difference between Elaine and her friends and family is that she has cerebral palsy and she can only use her feet. She has no use of her arms or hands. It takes her 2 years to paint a picture. It takes her 1.5 years to embroider a pillow. It takes her 2 years to knit a sweater. All of which she has done and has done very well. She can write with a pen with her feet. She can type a page on a computer in 1 minute. And she can thread a needle in seconds with her feet. It takes me 5 minutes. She decided a long time ago she could complain about how difficult life was without her arms, or she could get over it and live her life joyfully. She made a choice. She is a happy, happy woman now. She chose to be the creative and brilliant star she was meant to be. The great musician Arthur Rubinstein said, "I am passionately involved in life. I love its changes, I love its colors, its movement. To be alive, to be able to see, to walk, to have music, it's all a miracle. I have adopted the technique of living life from miracle to miracle." That man was a miracle. Have you heard his music? Oh, it's glorious. Again, our friend Albert Einstein said, "There's only two ways to live life. One is if everything is a miracle, the other is if nothing is." We get to choose. That's the power of God, to see it all as a miracle. Every scientific discovery that helps us to be whole, to live better, and to be happy is a miracle. Every spiritual discovery within that helps us to know that we are whole now, that we're powerful children of God, is a miracle. That we are powerful, peaceful, healthy, prosperous now is something to celebrate every single day. 26 years ago when the AIDS epidemic was in high gear, I worked with a man who was diagnosed with the virus. He rapidly began showing signs of illness until he could no longer get out of bed. A friend of his went to visit him and he said something that turned his life around. He said, "You have the power within you that is stronger than any virus. You are a child of God. You are stronger than any virus. You don't have to die." The truth of that statement hit him like a ton of bricks. He took that idea, he thought about it, he meditated on it, and he began to explore new ways of getting healthy. He began a spiritual journey to wholeness. He decided that life was a miracle and nothing could keep him from enjoying it, not even a virus. He's alive today, it's undetectable. He changed his mind. Another man I worked with around the same time received a positive diagnosis. He quit his job. He became despondent. He cut all of his friends and family out of his life. He sank into alcohol all day to dull his pain, and he passed away within a couple of months. He was kind of chubby. He was real light. He was really sweet. And within weeks, he had gone down to thin. I mean, like skeletal. From the belief that he was going to die, he really expedited that powerfully. He didn't have to. He decided he was not going to get well, and he didn't. Regardless of what the doctors are saying about your chances, regardless of what your financial picture is today, regardless of what your employment status is at the moment, regardless of your marital status or lack of at the moment, God's amazing healing, prospering, joyful love is at work in you no matter what is happening outside of you. You are the most powerful creation in the universe. You are a star, and you have an entourage of spirit guides, angels, family and friends who may be on the other side. The universe is so conspiring to help you to know that truth, to have the most wonderful life ever. Open your heart, open your mind, and let the energies of the universe help you out. God is seeing you through whatever is going on right now, and you can only succeed when you agree with God. Here's how we do it. First of all, we be willing to play with the idea that God is stronger than your problem. Remember, a math problem always has an answer. We just don't know what it is yet. Your problem has an answer, and it's God. We know what it is. How it'll show up, it will be wonderful, will be exciting, will be creative, and not up to you. Breathe. Let go of being in charge, because you're not. You never were. Get over it. Say, okay, God, show me what to do. Pretend, entertain for 1 week that your medical condition is already healed, that your prosperity has been dealt with and is pouring forth, that your relationship issue is already mended, already healed, already taken care of. Go with that idea that God has already taken care of it, then picture the good you're looking for. Close your eyes for a moment. Go to that picture in your mind. What does your deepest, most wonderful desire look like? What are the details? What does it smell like? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? What does your wonderful dream sound like? Take a moment and really let your senses revel in the good. Let it reveal the good that God has waiting within you, all of that and more. This picture couldn't be in your mind's eye right now if God didn't project it first. This is a God projection. This is not something you made up. This is a holy picture. Give a silent thank you to God and open your eyes. That which you have pictured is the gift of God waiting for you to accept. Spiritual science is applying the principle of health, prosperity, success, love, joy, and happiness in this way. Picture it, internalize it, believe it, have faith that God is at work. Think about it, feel it, speak positive words only about it. Act as if it is already here, and you will see it. As you apply this principle to your life, all the good you've been looking for such a long time will finally show up in all its glory. Begin now. Begin today in knowing that there is nothing impossible for God to achieve through a beautiful, shining light that you are. Close your eyes. Breathe into your heart. Let go and accept the good. Accept the true you that you are. We begin by singing, I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. Breathe into your heart and let go. All that I am. I am so blessed.
One more time, a little quieter. All that God is.
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful.
Breathe into your heart. I invite you to breathe light into your heart, the light of God that you are, that has always been present. With every breath, the light grows brighter and moves forth into every cell, every atom, every square inch of your being. Every thought, every bit of you. Feel gratitude for this wonderful body that gets you around the planet. I am grateful to see, I am grateful to hear, I'm grateful to touch, to smell, to sense, to breathe. I am grateful to live my life fully and freely. I am a miracle. I am the light of the world. This is the truth. Anything else is a notion, a false idea that didn't come from God, it came from outside. You were created to be healthy. You were created to be prosperous, to be powerful. You are God's brilliant, beautiful child. And all power is yours. All love, all joy is yours. All that God has is mine. Breathe that into your heart. All that God has is mine. And I am home. Whenever I remember God, I am home. Safe, secure, strong, blessed, abundantly loved, cared for and supported. Let go of any thought or fear contrary to the good of God. Surround yourself in this beautiful, wonderful home energy of love. Breathe in and know that your healing is taking place, that your abundance is pouring forth, that joy is permanent, that love is here, freely flowing forth to bring all the good into your life. That light is revealing everything that you need to know about your life, about your success, about the good coming forth. Breathe into your heart, God. And in the silence of your being, just for a few moments, hold to the truth. I am the light of the world. I am the light of God. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and know that all that remains when you know God and I are one is freedom, joy, success, wholeness, abundance, love. I am the light of the world.